There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Doctor's Log, Helldate 2020. Right now, health and medical industries are feeling the pressure of the COVID-19 outbreak. Doctors are feeling that pressure. Nurses are feeling that pressure. I'm definitely feeling that pressure. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. It's a log of this scary adventure we're all on together. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my doctor's log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, things have gotten really weird.
Yeah, it almost seems like every day you don't know what to expect. So we are going to try and help get you through it.
I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson, and we're the host of the new podcast, Coronavirus Daily. We bring in some of the top experts all around the world to ask the questions that you have.
Because we are all in this together, and you know what? We are all going to survive this together.
Again, Coronavirus Daily on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doctor's Log, Helldate 2020. Right now, health and medical industries are feeling the pressure of the COVID-19 outbreak. Doctors are feeling that pressure. Nurses are feeling that pressure. I'm definitely feeling that pressure. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. It's a log of this scary adventure we're all on together. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my doctor's log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
As Chicago works from home, the score is there for you.
Jeff is at work. Good morning, Jeff.
Thank you to the first responders and everybody working in the medical field for their brave work.
We need you. We need entertainment. We need diversion when everything is closed and we need to stay home. You're on the air keeping us entertained.
I just appreciate you and everything the score does. I'm going through a tough time, and thanks for everything.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD. To Chicago.
The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including grocery store employees, restaurant staffs, and delivery drivers. We appreciate you. This hour is also being brought to you by Wow! Working from home? Get Wow! Super fast internet, $34.99 per month, wowway.com. Herbie. Wow! Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Herbie texted me a story from the New York Post with actual video. The headline reads, Baseball League restarts in Taiwan with robot and mannequin fans in seats. How do we convince the White Sox to make the mannequin fans and the robot fans straight up Southsiders? Like, what do they look like? Are they going to have mustaches by Cracky? Are they going to wear their hats a little off to the side? Like, how many flat brims are you going to have of the mannequins who have hats on?
We need one of those mannequins to get George Jacobs' jacket, sit right behind home plate.
One of them's got to have an M&M jacket. That's clutch.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
So yesterday, I threw this out via Twitter, asking people how they want their fan base represented by mannequins or robot fans. And looking at the tweet, I have 132 suggestions. I'm also looking forward to yours via text at 67011 Tech Zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai in Algonquin. They're offering express checkout and home delivery. RosenHyundai.com. Glad that you're hanging out here with me. I got a lot of stuff to do. We're going to talk about the Bulls. We'll talk some NFL as they are now putting together their virtual workout regime in order as we get ready for the draft. And I think tomorrow I'm going to start getting a little bit more intense with NFL draft type stuff and guests over the next week or so as we get ourselves ready for the Bears. Well, not the Bears, because they won't be in the first round unless something crazy happens. But we're going to do some of that as the week goes on and as we get into next week for sure. James Feegan of The Athletic is going to join me at 1240. He wrote a piece about the White Sox talking to players about them, their thoughts on what baseball's plans to restart are. And I thought it was really interesting, so we're going to have a conversation with him. Former White Sox Kelly Wunsch is going to join us at 1:20, and we'll ask him what he's watching and pick his brain about things. But we start things off on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford would like you to know that their service department is open. AlpamonteFord.com out there in Melrose Park. Cody Westerling covers the Bulls for us here at The Score and on 670thescore.com. Wrote a piece about Jim Boylan yesterday. Wrote a piece about Gar Forman. I like picking his brain on basketball stuff, and he was nice enough to hang out before he heads off to a conference call. Cody, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Lawrence.
All right, let's start with the Karnišovas conference call and his interview today on The Score. What did you take away from the things that he said about team and roster building?
Yeah, it seems like he really has a vision for this team. He mentioned that in conversations he's had with Coach Jim Boylan that he wants to play up-tempo, fast-paced, and move the ball, pass the ball a lot, which is stuff you hear, I think, from every single coach and every single team at, like, the outset of training camp every year. But the difference here is Karnišovas has a background with a Nuggets team that's been playing this way for the past several years and having a lot of success. And he's been tied to identifying a lot of that talent and helping it out. So I think obviously we need to see that implemented in Chicago to truly believe it. But I think you can take him at his word when he says that's what his vision is. But I've also just been struck by how he's very convicted in what he wants to do. I mean, he did not have a long conversation with Gar Forman before he decided to fire Gar Forman. And when he was asked about it, he said our basketball philosophies differed and that was going to prevent the Bulls from moving forward. And that's a sign that he knows exactly what he wants to do from a team building and roster building perspective to implement his vision. He knew Gar's vision didn't fit his, probably because he was aware of how the Bulls have played basketball for the past several years and Gar's leading role in identifying some of that talent. But at the same time, I think if you extend that, the next step, the next subplot is that every player on the team is going to be up for evaluation, and there are no guarantees that any of them fit how Arturis Karnišovas wants to play basketball. So that'll be the interesting thing moving forward for this team.
Well, that was the next thing I wanted to ask you, is about Gar Forman. And you've covered Gar for a long time. I'm curious what you think those differences between the two were that the new vice president of basketball operations didn't need long to be like, no, we're not going to gel.
I think a lot of it comes down to passing and how players see the floor. And you see that in the Nuggets taking Nikola Jokic in the second round in 2014. He didn't have NBA athleticism. He didn't have an NBA body. He didn't have an extensive European background that suggested, in a way, like Luka Doncic, for example, that he was going to be really successful in the NBA. What he had is tremendous passing ability, tremendous vision on the court, a lot of skills and talent. So he's going to hedge towards skill, I think, more than athleticism or NBA body. And I think that in many ways explains in recent years when the Bulls started their rebuild, even dating back to before that when they drafted a few players. They wanted to get younger and more athletic, and obviously they didn't go that way in signing Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo in the summer of 2016, but that's something we heard all the time. I don't know that Karnishevich really cares that much about how athletic you are. He cares about what type of basketball skills you have. So in a way that you might prioritize, Kobe White, for example, is a guy that has showcased extremely good shooting ability for stretches. He's a guy with a good NBA body. He hasn't displayed terrific passing ability yet. I think that's something that Karnishevich will want to see in his future players. So whereas Kobe might have seemed like the fulcrum of the Bulls offense moving forward in the future, maybe now he is the guy off the ball, isn't the lead primary decision maker, because he's going to want to prioritize passing more. And I mentioned Jokic. You look at Monte Morris, another guy the Nuggets have had in their rotation, their backup point guard. He had one of the best assist-to-turnover ratios in college basketball history when he played at Iowa State, and that's something else the Nuggets front office prioritizes, his ability to pass, take care of the ball. And again, he's not a supreme athlete, but that's how they really viewed their basketball-building culture for the last 5 years, and Karnishevich was a big role in that.
Okay, let's talk about Jimbo. And we're talking with Cody Westerlund, our Bulls beat reporter here at The Score. I thought it was weird that he put out a statement yesterday. I thought that was really strange. But it seems so far that Arturas is at least willing to hear him out. So if you're Jim Boylan, how do you save your job?
I don't think there's anything Jim Boylan can do to save his job right now. I think he has to be himself, because it'd be disingenuous if he didn't be himself. And so far, he's been a guy set in his ways when it comes to honesty and holding people accountable. And that's what the Reinsdorf and John Paxson wanted out of him. And that's not to say the Bulls don't need that moving forward, but they're going to be more focused on what Jim Boylan does X's and O's wise. And he's a guy that prioritized shots at the rim and three-point shots. The Bulls did have a terrific shot profile this past year. They just didn't make them enough. And sometimes they were too three-point heavy, I think, early in the season. They didn't get Lauri Markkanen in the post enough. So if you're Jim Boylan, I think the best thing you can do is have an open mind and be like, I have a plan to write what we did last year, and it involves getting Lauri Markkanen on the move more, for example. It involves Zach LaVine just not pounding the basketball, screen and roll, passing, getting the ball back at the top of the key with 7 seconds left on the shot clock, and not putting him in a good position. It would be getting him on the floor in spots that he can be more dangerous from. The problem is, this just isn't what the Bulls have done this past season. So I think Jim Boylan's in a real tough spot, because just the way the Bulls have played, they just haven't been good at passing. And again, a lot of that goes back to talent evaluation of the players you're given, but some of that's on the coaching system as well, how you utilize that talent, where you put players on the floor, what you demand by way of your players getting the ball in certain spots. And the way the Bulls have played basketball recently just doesn't match up with what the Nuggets did. So that's why I think, for many other reasons, the Jim Boylan departure is likely to come.
What's the best way that the Pax as advisor role works?
Well, I would think Karnishevich doesn't have an extensive history with the Reinsdorfs. So anytime he has a question about how to best approach the Reinsdorfs on something that he needs, or a big idea, anything that he needs to know in their past history that relates to ideas he has with individuals in the organization that maybe aren't necessarily just basketball people, I think that could be where he's best at a sounding board. I don't expect Pax to be weighing in on any big draft decision or anything like that, any big trade decision. I think it has more to do with the institutional knowledge of how the Bulls have operated. Because, look, we know the Bulls have operated very well from a business perspective, even when they haven't been good at basketball. And that speaks a lot to their brand that MJ helped build, and also speaks to putting smart people in charge of a lot of departments and branding themselves well. So they're obviously basketball focus for Karnishevich, but there will also be overlap with other departments. And I think maybe that's where more of the non-basketball stuff that Pax can help him out with a little bit.
Who are the most attractive GM candidates as you look at it?
Well, the Bulls have received permission to interview three already: Clippers assistant general manager Mark Hughes, Magic assistant general manager Matt Lloyd, and 76ers player personnel Mark Eversley. So those are the three candidates we know they're tied to already. And I think any of them would be decent. I don't know that this list isn't going to expand, though, in the way that Michael Reinsdorf seemed really set on having his six candidates and interviewing a few of them and then not expanding the list. I think this is a list that could expand a little bit more. I like what Mark Eversley's done with the 76ers. I know that that product hasn't meshed well, but in a player personnel role in Philadelphia, like, I think you've seen a lot of steps out of someone like Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons, I know, doesn't have a jump shot, but he's taken big steps too since he came into the NBA. So I don't always know that the player personnel guy is responsible for how an offense operates, which I think has been the problem in Philadelphia. But I like the idea of having that GM with a background too in player personnel, because the Bulls have had struggles in player development. So I think that's been more of a focus, obviously, for a guy like Eversley in Philadelphia rather than Matt Lloyd, who's a former Bulls front office staffer as well, who hasn't worked, I don't think, on the player personnel side quite as much. So I think that would be a decent hire. The Clippers front office, too, I mean, that's appealing. Mark Hughes, he's a little bit older. I think he's early 50s and played college basketball himself. But that's a team that helped attract Kawhi Leonard, obviously. It was literally a group effort for the Clippers to attract Kawhi Leonard from Toronto, not saying by any means that he played a leading role in that or anything, but he's around it. He saw it. And you'll notice when Karnišević was on with Mullion Hall this morning, they asked him what he wants in a GM candidate. I thought one of his best quotes that they got out of him was, not only do I want someone different than me, they asked him what that was. And he said someone with strong relationships. And then he said strong relationships with players. So anytime you're a part of an organization like the Clippers that has strong relationships with Kawhi Leonard, who was kind of one of the most fickle players in the NBA, just in trying to understand him, what they did to attract him there, I think that's really good experience for someone like Hughes to have seen. Now, I don't know extensively all the connections some of these guys have. It's not like any of them are worldwide West or anything like that in NBA circles where they know everyone. But Karnišević probably has a good idea of who has the most connections. So I think whoever has the most connections will have the inside track, as long as he's comfortable in their background. So that's the way I would go. I can't pinpoint one name, but I understand and I support anyone with a lot of connections, because I don't think they don't need someone with extensive international scouting or anything like that. That's what he's an expert at, being detail oriented. So it's okay if you have someone that's different from that.
So this weekend, The Last Dance is going to air. At least parts one and two of it are going to air this weekend. As someone that covers the Bulls as an organization, and you are really young, even towards the second, the three-peat, what are you hoping to find out from it?
Well, I'm just interested to kind of see all the background stuff, because when I look back, I mean, I started watching the NBA a lot when Jordan returned to the Bulls, kind of their second three-peat. I'm 32 years old now. So it was like 1995 when I really started paying attention to the NBA. And all I remember is the game, you know, like, you get in this role in sports radio and the digital business here in Chicago, like, you see every headline, but like, I don't remember all the beef going on behind the scenes. Like, I don't know exactly why that Bulls team had to break up. Obviously, I've heard a lot of people talk about it on the air. I've read articles through the years, but I don't know what the daily process was of how much controversy there was, because you think a lot of the Bulls controversies they've had in recent years, it just like pales in comparison to what they really had with all the behind the scenes beef going on during their dynasty, because you had Scottie Pippen wasn't ever comfortable with his contract. You had MJ always yelling at someone, punching Steve Kerr, like people standing up to him, but not really standing up to him. And obviously Jerry Krause didn't have a good relationship with MJ. That was always contentious while the Bulls were winning championships. So that's what I'm interested, kind of seeing the mechanics of the day-to-day operations and how good of a job they did to compartmentalize and win basketball games. And then, you know, like, we love good headlines in this business, Lawrence. And, like, that was a team that was always full of good headlines because they had success on the court, and then they could be mad at each other, mad at the front office, mad at ownership, mad at other teams throughout the NBA. And I don't have an understanding of that. So I think seeing how each individual operated with their personality and how they reacted to that will be most interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. It'll give me a chance to kind of relive some stuff because 97-98 is when I started working professionally. So having to kind of